My guest at this time is Heather McDonald. She is the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute and a contributing editor at City Journal. She is also author of the new book, The War on Cops, How an Attack on Law and Order Makes Everyone Less Safe. Today we're asking her to react to news of another police officer being murdered, ambushed in this case, and the violence we saw in Chicago on Friday. And Heather, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
This is the fourth police officer murdered in the greater Washington area already this year. There were two further north in Maryland. There was one in Prince William County, Virginia, just a couple of weeks ago. And now Ja'Kai Colson ambushed outside the police station in Prince George's County, Maryland. The statistics suggest that while it's early in the year, the pace of murdered officers is over 200% higher than it was at this time last year. As you've studied this issue, is this simply a matter of a certain number of incidents happening earlier in the year, and this is a statistical anomaly? Or are we seeing greater and greater hostility, and now deadly hostility, growing towards law enforcement?
Well, cops are certainly seeing greater hostility growing towards them. When you have not just President Obama, but now the two Democratic contenders for the presidency routinely saying that cops think that black lives are cheap, that we have a racist criminal justice system, what cops are seeing on the street is more resistance to their lawful authority. It's a real breakdown of law and order in the inner city now. When cops go to make an arrest, they find themselves routinely surrounded by people cursing at them, throwing things at them, throwing diapers, throwing ice bottles, hardened bottles, bricks. And it's not surprising that that kind of hostility is going to result sometimes in even more lethal use of force.
What was the tipping point here, Heather? Because obviously years ago, nobody probably even really thought about trying to harm, much less kill, a police officer. And even more recently, it seemed that even if the idea crossed into your mind, it was a really stupid one, so you didn't actually do it. How did we get to the point now where people are actually going out and targeting officers?
Well, there's always a mysterious jump between public rhetoric and an act of that degree of heinousness, but we have a media culture that actively encourages the Black Lives Matter movement, which is based on complete lies about police shootings, that the media that buys into the narrative of this being a fundamentally racist society and police as the sort of vanguard of that racism. And people are going to sort of wallow in their victimhood and feel like cops have been so dehumanized and so delegitimated that they become valid targets.
Heather, talk a little more about the connection between the rhetoric and the action, because everything seems to have some sort of political angle now. So however a story plays out, one side will say, well, it's not the rhetoric, it's this person's responsibility. Or in the other direction, the other person's going to say, no, your rhetoric inspired them. It drove them to this. Otherwise, they never would have lashed out in this way. It's this building rage that's going on. So how do we assign blame or assign responsibility here most effectively in a way that we can actually figure out what's going on and then move towards a solution?
Well, you're absolutely right. Anti-abortion protesters are not going to take responsibility for abortion clinic killings, and gun rights advocates are going to say, "Don't blame us on killing." So it works both ways. There's no question, and it's just a question, I think, of evaluating the degree of legitimacy of that rhetoric, and I would say that the anti-cop rhetoric now is not just in the province of a subset of our culture, which is the case with, say, the pro-life movement, but is something that comes from the very upper reaches of our political structure and is amplified constantly by the media. That isn't to say, of course, that the people that engage in the actual violence are not themselves primarily responsible. But I just think it is definitely time to pull back and get a hold of the facts. You know, for example, despite what the Black Lives Matter movement says, which is that there's an epidemic of cop killings of black men, police officers are 2.5 times more likely to be killed by a black than a black male is to be killed by a police officer. So if we're going to have a Lives Matter movement, maybe it should be a Blue Lives Matter. Similarly, whites and Hispanics are the proportion of white and Hispanic homicide victims who are killed by cops is much larger than the proportion of black homicide victims who are killed by cops. 12% of all white and Hispanic homicide victims are killed by a police officer, compared to 4% of black homicide victims who are killed by a police officer. So, you know, the data that's out there is completely misleading. And the real problem facing blacks today, as far as violence, comes from other blacks, not the police. The police are there to try and protect lives, not to take them. But that is just not a narrative that fits in with the sort of liberal anti-white bias that we hear from the media and that comes out of academia as well.
Heather, real quick on Chicago, of course, that was the Trump event that was scheduled on Friday night. Ultimately, a bunch of protesters gained access to the facility. That broke out into chaos, and eventually it spilled out of the hall. A lot of law enforcement there, and there were confrontations between people. I think a lot of them were the protesters more than those who initially attended the rally, but whoever it was encountering the police. As you watched that unfold Friday night, what struck you most?
People's inability to restrain themselves and act civilly. You know, I don't blame Trump's rhetoric for this necessarily, although I do think he's a profoundly boorish person. I think there's a desire to try to incite violence at these rallies, and people are. It's going to be worrisome watching this going out, because this is now going to be a goal of the left to try and inflame violence and blame it on Trump and the right, which I think is unfair. Which isn't to say that Trump should not be conducting himself with less ego on the trail and more policy. But, you know, I think people are getting very hot under the collar.
Last question. I know you've got to run, Heather. Is there something the current or the next president could say to really reshape the attitude towards police? Or is this a point where our culture has just shifted to a point where one person or even a consistent message over a period of time is not necessarily going to change much?
Oh, I think the president has a very powerful bully pulpit, and I think he should get the facts out there that blacks are killing each other at astronomical rates. More blacks are killed each year than whites and Hispanics combined, and the police are the only ones who've managed to save black lives over the last two decades, and that the resistance to arrest that is happening now at such high levels and dangerous levels in the inner city is wrong, and it's going to lead to an escalation of force on the part of the officers and possibly even putting innocent bystanders' lives at risk. So I think that there is absolutely still a possibility to try and bring some truth and sanity back to the discourse.
Heather, we'll call time there. Thank you very much for your insights today.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Heather McDonald is the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, a contributing editor at City Journal, and she's the author of the brand new book, The War on Cops, How an Attack on Law and Order Makes Everyone Less Safe. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.